Andrew's been holding the fort down. That is a fort up there. That's definitely a fort up there on Forest Avenue in Fort Payne, Alabama. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the Gospels here, and we'll start in Matthew 26. Matthew 26. I do hope that you can work it out where you can go this afternoon out to Abby's and Charlie's and New Bethel and Tryon, Georgia. Tryon, Georgia. Some of y'all probably, I think they're going to have volleyball, and I know some of y'all are really needing to play your volleyball game, so come on up there. Chick's good at volleyball. Yeah. I think Chick's going to be there. Terry's got new hips now. I ain't playing in front of you. I'll play on the other side of the net. Isn't that something, those guys that say they're girls that play volleyball and break the necks of the girls and all of that? I sure am glad that there's been some changes in the way things are in operation. Aren't you? I'm telling you. Father, we want to ask you there for a minute, Lord, as we open the Word of God, Lord, to just that all of us would give our undivided attention and be sensitive to the work of God and the Spirit of God in our lives, that we would, Lord, we would just listen and intently receive, Lord, what you would have for us, for each one of us. And wherever the gospel's preached today, I pray that people will be saved, the saints will be honored and strengthened, and you'll be honored and glorified in every way. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Well, they say, three times mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it says, a woman. This is not a Mother's Day message, but there's three times in the scriptures that we're using today that the Bible says, and a woman came. Now, this thing about Memorial Day, you can call it a holiday, which in one sense of the word means holy day. Holy day. And it is a holy day. When you think about well over a million soldiers and Marines, whatever, Navy, have military have given their lives, over a million. Like real close to 1.2 million is the figures we've got. That's a lot of people. I can't imagine somebody knocking on my door and telling us that one of our boys is dead. I've been listening to some of this, and you probably have too, but one woman got a knock on the door, and they told her son had died in the battle, and she said, you're going to have to send me a picture and make sure it's my boy. And they sent her a picture, and she looked at it. And I can't imagine going through that. I can't imagine. I'll probably talk more about this later. This is an extended message on, it could be on something called the mark, the marker. One nurse, and you have to appreciate nurses, that she gave like 40 years of her life to be a nurse, and she, in the Vietnam era, she became a real close to a helicopter pilot, and he was like in with the men and with the in the battle and whatever he had to do, he was like gung-ho. But when he and her spent some time together, he would break down. And weep and say, why does this have to happen, you know? Especially when our Vietnam, and it's not just Vietnam, but especially during that era, which I was, growing up, they spit on our soldiers when they came back. Called them baby killers. The fourth that Levi's got to come home from the weekend, he's at another church today, and I wish he could have been here, but he's at his church up on Sand Mountain. But Levi told me that Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma, is the highest suicide rate, a military base in the nation, and it averaged 3 a week. I'm not sure that's a consistent average right now, but one a month is too much. One a year, 3 a week. It had averaged 3 suicides a week, and one boy got his razor and tore it apart. And that Zachary, I'm calling him Zachary. I'll do that. But Levi's on with, and he's having to be under constant watch. But he took his razor apart, that and got those little blades out, and sliced his arms up the wrong way, and they're having to have somebody with him all the time. So anyway, we don't know. You may know. I don't know what it's like to come home from war. And I'm going to read you something here that I wrote down from over in Cave Springs. That it's an epitaph about the Vietnam era. And I'm truth. There it was in all wars from 1965 to 1973. Here's what it says over there at the in a monument in Cave Springs, Georgia. I read this several years ago. Not everyone who lost his life in Vietnam died there. Not everyone who came home from Vietnam ever left there. Let me read that again. Not everyone who lost his life in Vietnam died there. Not everyone who came home from Vietnam ever left there. And the nightmares, the memories, they're compounded. I can't imagine. And I can't say Happy Memorial Day. I can't. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say Holy Memorial Day. Oh, pardon. The first Memorial Day that I studied out was in Mississippi. In Mississippi, there were so many unmarked graves, and there were some that were marked from Confederate, maybe some Union too. But the idea was that some lady got with her lady friends who had lost sons, and they went to graves and put flowers on the graves. And many of them were just unmarked graves. But in God's eyes, they're not unmarked. Now, let me move quickly. Some people say, and I'm not talking the scriptural ideas, but I'm talking about the physical idea of somebody said, some people die twice, and they shouldn't have to die twice. And the idea is, they die physically. That's going to happen. And then they're forgotten. So they really die again. And it's our responsibility not to let people die twice. Oh my. And forget them. But it happens. Our school kids, 9/11, a lot of them don't even know nothing about it. History's going to be so misrepresented and rewrote that we'll turn out to be the bad guys. The forgotten. Never forget. That's what a memorial's all about. A memorial means to mark. It means to be in recognition of, to remind, to make a mark or a marker, to cause remembrance. Something has to be usually physically established to keep us in memory of something that has happened. I spent 4 years in Chattanooga. And there's a military cemetery there. And periodically I would be by that place, and just, you've seen them. They're just acres and acres of those quiet monuments. And I thought about That's beautiful. But it's not beautiful. Because under that soil is something that is not beautiful to the eye, but it's beautiful to our hearts. There was a woman. There came a woman. In Matthew chapter 26, the time was 2 days before the Passover and the crucifixion of Jesus. 2 days. That was Monday. A lot of times I want to say, I believe it was Monday, or I believe this. I'm going to be very careful saying anything about what I believe, and I want to say it was Monday. 2 days before the crucifixion, which was on Wednesday. That's the time. The location was the city of Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. The occasion was a dinner. They had Jesus. Simon the leper had Jesus at his house. And they were eating. And no doubt there were other people there. Sure they were. But there's an unexpected disruption. Now, in Jesus' time, the walls, people would have walls around their house and a gate to come in. And then come forth the little courtyard. I'm talking about with the wealthy people. And this man was a wealthy man. He was in religion big time. Simon the leper was. And he threw a meal and a supper and a get together with Jesus and whoever else was there. And when they would have those things at their homes, they would keep the gates open where people walking down the road could look in. And they kept the front door open where they could see in. And people had the opportunity to go in with one thing, with the exception of not participating, but just viewing. So there came a woman, an unexpected visitor, an unwanted visitor, a brave woman, a broken woman, a bad woman. Now, she came to Jesus, and you know this story. When they would sit at a meal, sometimes they would recline and they would, I'm not sure exactly how they done it. They had small tables, apparently too, that similar to maybe Chinese, but they would, their feet would be back and their body would be towards the, and maybe they would be on the elbow. And maybe when John leaned on Jesus' breast and said, "Is it me, Lord?" The idea was that they were real close together eating, and they were eating out of the same bowl, you know, double dipping. I didn't even know what that meant. I'm a country boy, and I'll tell you what, I didn't know, and I get tired of people telling me how to eat. If they don't like the way I eat, they don't have to listen to me eat. I try to have somewhat. I'm thankful for my wife. I was raised rough, just me and Daddy and my brothers when we were coming up, and we just slop hog and get it. And but my wife's give me a few manners and new lessons in manners. But they would be there like that, and so they were approachable. If you would approach them at the table, you would approach their body at an angle and low, and the lady came, and she came with an alabaster box of ointment. That alabaster box of ointment was very costly. It was over 300 days of wages, 300 pence, and a penny was the average wage, and it was a very valuable box. And she was a lady of ill repute and recognized to be so, especially by Simon the leper. And she got that alabaster box and she came and she poured it on You'll read closely. You'll have to read closely, not just his head, but on his body. And she kneeled down at his feet. And she began to kiss his feet without interruption. And her hair became a towel, and her tears became the water to wash the feet of our Lord. And if you'll read carefully, you'll see that it wasn't a quick ordeal that she maintained that movement for a considerable amount of time. And as she did that, Simon, as well as probably some of the uppity people, this was a Pharisee's house. Simon the leper, who was a Pharisee, and they were of means. And so he recognized it. And he was critical in his heart. Do you not understand that Jesus knows when you're speaking to yourself inaudibly? He knows what you're thinking. And Simon the leper, who was a Pharisee, that's mainstream religion. They prided themselves in their religious accomplishments. They would walk down the streets with blinders on like a mule. They prided to keep from looking and lusting. They prided themselves in the money they gave. They prided themselves in how often they fasted. They prided themselves in even how many bruises they had on them for not being able to see where they were walking and walking into a brick wall, because they didn't want to look it and lust. And the way women dressed back then, I don't know how that happened. I mean, they were veiled and they were clothed, and God help young men and old men in the way women dress. I appreciate how our church, our ladies of our church, dress decently. I honor you for that. Young ladies, as you grow up, you be careful about how you would not reveal your skin and your bodies. Don't be ashamed to dress like a lady. So Simon says, you ever heard that one? Simon says within himself, if this man, Jesus, was a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that was doing this to him. So he questions her morals. Now let me repeat. Simon the leper, the religious Pharisee, questioned the motive and questioned the morals of that woman, because everybody knew that she was a street woman. Everybody knew, everybody there knew, and maybe some of the crowd knew her in ways that other people didn't know her, like the woman that came to Jesus caught in adultery. They didn't bring the man. Where was he? Both of them needed to be stoned according to the law. But they knew this woman was a bad woman. Just a while back, Robert and Kathy and I, and Robert and his family were with us over in Collinsville at Jack's. We stopped there sometimes after the Mexican church, and there was a woman in there. Y'all remember her? A woman coming in and out. She had definitely some kind of mind problem. She was dressed terribly. I mean, her clothes were about to rot off of her. And she was clothed somewhat, you know, pretty well clothed. And you know, it's just like when your heart goes out to somebody. I see ladies from time to time, you know, I think about this. That could have been one of my daughters. Her story was, she's traveling from Mississippi going up north, and I found out later she might have been lying. When we was getting ready to leave, she was laying over there across the street by my car on the sidewalk. And Andrew and Robert saw that and told me about it. And but anyway, did not go into all the details. We had gotten her room. I guess that was the week before or something. We had got her a room and bought her some food so anyway, can you imagine somebody? The last time I saw, I told you, Kathy, I saw her walking down Highway 11 South out of Collinsville. Nobody won't be around her. I didn't. God said, "What are you, a Pharisee? What are you, a leper?" And so I wonder about her. But this is, can you imagine if somebody walked in, "Oh, everybody's welcome at our church." Think about that real deep. Okay? And mean that when you say it. Simon said, if Jesus, he doubted Jesus, he doubted. He said, if this man was a prophet, she would know who this woman was. And he wouldn't have anything to do with her. I like this. I ain't even really read this. Verse 6, chapter 26, now when Jesus was in Bethany to the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman, having an alabaster box, very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he said it to me. And if you'll read and study the other three Gospels real carefully, you're going to see that he poured it on his body. Now, I got to try to not be slow on this. In Luke chapter 7, if I got my scripture right, yeah, Luke chapter 7, during the house of the Pharisee. Matter of fact, some people believe that this was Mary Magdalene. I don't. Some people believe it was Lazarus' sister, and I don't. And you're going to have to come up with your own studies on that, but I've got real strong reasons to believe that this woman's name was never mentioned. A woman. Jesus was anointed more than once. Matter of fact, you can study it out, but he was anointed by other women. Their names were called, but her name wasn't called. You know, my name ain't important. I mean, it is and it ain't. I mean, you know, you got to be able to get your mail. Sometimes I wish they didn't know my name to get my mail. But this is an unmarked grave somewhere. Somewhere this woman died. And I believe her grave might have just been unmarked. I don't know. You know, President Reagan again declared that unnamed, unknown soldier, he made a memorial there for the, and they buried that soldier there that nobody knew who he was. And you know, that don't really matter if anybody knows me, but what matters if Jesus knows me. That's all that matters. That's all that really matters. Now, I really like what I'm reading here, and I'm going to show you here in Luke 7, Jesus knew, I want to read verse 30. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidding him saw it, he spake within himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that does what? That toucheth him, for he is a sinner." She's a sinner. Do you understand that Simon the leper was no longer leprosy? You realize he was no longer contagious? Do you realize that, my friends, if he had not been cured of leprosy, he would have been in a leper colony and not be able to be at home, let alone have anybody in his house with him. And now he's saying, don't he know? And you know what? Once you're known as Simon the leper, your name never changes. You're always, whatever you are, they'll say, he was a leper. What were you? Jesus healed that man physically, but I don't believe he healed him. I don't believe he got saved. Can you imagine that? For Jesus to do such a great miracle in somebody's life and then they not get saved? I don't believe he was saved. If anybody questions who Jesus is, they're not saved. If any man questions that Jesus, whether Jesus is the Christ or not, they're not saved. Now, move along. So Jesus, in verse 40, Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He said, I'm going to tell you something. Now watch the way this arrogant man, watch the way he thinks he's got it covered. And here's what Simon said. Master, say all. And the way that we would interpret that is, lay it on me, Lord. He's going to lay something on him that he didn't want to hear. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered, said to him, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman, said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? A woman, the woman, this woman. A woman would have not have been this woman if she had not have came to Jesus. She'd have still been out there wondering. This woman right here, that's worse than me. And that's what she said. I entered the thine house and I gave some little water for my feet. And she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, you know, he gave him no kiss. You know what the Oriental custom was? Kiss him on the inside cheek. I'm not into that. I don't even believe the men really are over there. They're just mimicking it. They're not. No kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to do what? Kiss my feet. Can you imagine that? If you kissed Jesus' feet, you had the opportunity. Would you bow down and be speaking? Hold his skin. Would you do that? That feeling, mainstream religion, and that have no part. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I said unto thee, watch her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she hath loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said to her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You know how important it is to forgive, have your sin forgiven. You realize you're not going to heaven if your sins have not been forgiven. You're not going to heaven if your sins have not been forgiven, past, present, future. You know what? I may be the only one that does this, but I've had to confess past sins, present sins. And I said, Lord, when I sin again, what's it? I'm not fearful of it. I have to confess peace. I have to keep the past from calling. And it will do that. The devil's accused of the blood that he'll accuse you to use. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? He said unto the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Wow! Did she know all that was going to happen? Why did Simon the leper think of that? He might have died from the head. Or he might have heard from Jesus. What you got to say to me? What do you got to say? Tell me. Do you really want to know what? It's too people. He thinks a lot now. Once they have once a lot. One I knew very well. The other one I know somewhat. But I know a lot about both of them. One's a man, one's a woman, one's dead, one's alive. But both have made similar statements that I've been aware of. One, the man, made that statement, the statement to me. And the woman made it to people that I'm real close to. And I'm not a bit surprised that it's not, because both the statements are very similar in content. The woman said, I want to make a legacy for myself. What? That's her word, legacy. I want to make a legacy for myself. The man was too dumb to know, pardon, what legacy meant. So he put it in layman's terms, which I fully understood. And he said, before I die, I want to do something so great that I want to do something that everybody will remember me by. And I want you to know he got his wish. But it wasn't what he thought it was going to be. It wasn't something that they celebrate his death day every year, his birthday, or put a monument up celebrating what he'd done. And the woman's not dead yet, but if she don't change her way of thinking, why couldn't we say, I want to do something for God? Even if they never know my name. Wow. What did John the Baptist say? This guy could have been a priest in the temple and very wealthy, but he went out into the wilderness and he said, my name's not important. He said, I'm a voice of one crying in the wilderness. He took off fine garments and put on a coat of camel hair. And I can't imagine that. I've never even touched a camel, but they said the prophets wore their camel. They wore those camel hair inside out where the hair was sticking you. That's another way to wear camel hair, but it kept them on the move. A locust and wild honey, the simple life. He didn't care if people didn't even know his name, but he sure was interested in knowing that people knew Jesus' name. Because he said, I'm just a voice. He said, the one that's coming after me. And he said, behold us, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And I don't care how little you think you are, but if you point at Jesus and say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, you'll have a monument with Jesus. Now listen, the unnamed woman was a sinner. She heard Jesus was at Simon's house and went in and publicly put her preparation for death on Jesus. And you say, what do you mean by that? That alabaster box that cost a year's wages was for her burial. And she just put it on Jesus. And that was for embalming. You know the women that went to Jesus' grave to embalm him with ointments and precious spices? They were going to embalm him because they didn't believe yet that he was going to raise from the dead. But this woman got ahead of the game a little bit. She said, He's Jesus. He's my Savior. He's forgiven my sins. You know, I'm coming to Him for forgiveness when she initially went in. And she's putting her life in His life because she knew He wasn't going to never really die. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it does to me, man. I want to prepare with Jesus first before I ever try to worry about buying a casket. And matter of fact, you don't even need a casket, Kathy. Do you know some of the priests that were concerned about the elaborate funerals that had been given? That one priest said, "I'm gonna destroy this culture. I'm gonna destroy this method." And he said, "When I die," he had him put him in a little white, just wrapped him up in a little white sheet, put him in the grave, and he called it his traveling dress. Throw him in the river is what my daddy always says. I've caught many fish. Now it's time for a few fish to catch me. She worshiped him and knelt down before him. Jesus, in return, gives the greatest words that can ever be given to anybody that's ever lived, and that was, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Amen? It's a perpetual memorial. However, Simon died eventually, and ain't no telling what they put on his monument. Might have put, "Great Simon the Leper." They might have left off the leper, because that would be insulted. Pharisee to the third degree. Doctor. Wealthy man. Entertained. Had Jesus in his house. But they might have never put that he questioned who Jesus was. You see, an epitaph and a memorial. An epitaph is similar. It's made out of two words, epi and topos. Epi means own or upon, and topos means tomb. And so it's a writing on a tomb. And you see that all the time. And they misrepresent, preachers misrepresent people when they're preaching their funerals. "Oh, what a good man he was." And he probably, they don't tell him, beat his wife, was a drunk, and robbed people. And wonderful man. It's like a guy and mama and son was sitting there at their husband's funeral, and the preacher was building and putting him in heaven. She said, "Son, go up there and look in that casket. I don't think that's your daddy in that casket that man's talking about." So, it's an inscription on or at a tomb, a grave in memory of the one buried there, in brief stated words inscribed on the monument. And if the truth were known, my friends, about Simon, and it may have never been known till he died and met with God, the woman, listen, here it is, the woman, here, I almost missed main part, Matthew 26, verse 13, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." She knew Jesus. You know, that's, if they put anything on my grave, I'd like to do it. I knew Jesus. I know Him. And He knows me. But look at this. What else could they have put? They could have put, "She loved much. She worshiped. Her sins were forgiven. She had faith." And there it is. It's all in that verse. And the last part of it was, I think I'm going back to Luke again now. Let me turn right over there. We'll be done. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 7. Verse 15. "And it came to pass, and he said to the woman, it wasn't just a woman now, but it's the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee." She's saved. And then he said, what? go in peace. She left there with peace in her heart. Something that Simon didn't have. He's a critic. He's condemning other people. Better be careful doing that. Jesus said, Hebrews, Paul said, you got to be careful to entertain strangers because they may be angels unaware. Let's stand with our heads bowed. If you want to give thanks to the Lord today, make a memorial for Him in your life. If you want to be saved, place faith in Jesus today for the saving of your soul. Why don't you do that? Come on. Worship the Lord today in the way that you would. Father, have your way in every heart and life. If there be anybody here under the sound of my voice, that they would be saved today. They would come, Lord, and unidentify themselves as just a sinner and identify Jesus as their Savior. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Would you come right now? Come and just bring it to the Lord. Whatever your need is, come on right now. Have thine own way, Lord. Let the Lord have His way in your life. Amen. The chorus says, you know it, I love Him. I love Him because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.